This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His assistance and we seek His divine guidance. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, my dear mothers and fathers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Barakallahu feekum. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just all praises, but the most noblest of praises. And these praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He showers upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam countless blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about these blessings in His book, when He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to try and audit and take account of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, you will never ever be able to do so. We will never ever be able to count the many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers upon us. And the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does shower upon us, these blessings are like no other blessings. Because they are godly blessings. They are blessings from the Creator of everything in creation. They are blessings from the King of all kings. And yes, we might have those from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gift us with gifts, but if we would amass the gifts of everyone who gifted us, they would not equate in terms of honor, in terms of rank, to just one blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And then with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given us just one blessing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us countless blessings. From the blessings, O servants of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered upon us, is the blessing of technology. This technology that you and I enjoy, especially in a session such as this, that I can be in the comfort of my home, and you can be in the comfort of your home, but nonetheless we can engage together in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can engage together in a process that you and I consider a transferal of the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this technology is a blessing. And another blessing is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired us to use this technology. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired us to come together from different parts of the globe, irrespective of the country that we're in. I do know for sure that alhamdulillah, we have some students here with us today that are experiencing the early hours of the morning. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired you to be here in a session dedicated towards teaching from that left behind by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which our scholars rahmatullahi alayhim have taught us in the many books that they have written, that which or they've described that left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his inheritance. And this understanding of theirs obviously didn't come from themselves. They gathered it from their study of the Quran and the Sunnah and the ahadith which cite the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the most valuable matters the earth will ever witness, as the most valuable matters that anyone would experience until the day of Qiyamah. So indeed we praise Allah for the technology, and we praise Allah for inspiring us to use the technology, and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also for guiding us towards choosing to be part of this particular session. Indeed all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa azim sultanik, laka alhamd hatta tarza wa laka alhamd إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. From the outset, my dear brothers and sisters, as we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our time together one which is pleasing to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a gathering of sincerity, a gathering of ikhlas and purity, and a gathering that only intends the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with great hope in His reward subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the greatest reward known as Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only to grant us Jannah, but to make us neighbors to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our time together today and over the course of the upcoming weeks and months and years, inshallah, because I fathom and imagine this particular class lasting several years. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us life and preserve us in His obedience. Ameen. So may Allah make us neighbors to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make our time together heavy on our scales of good deeds in the year after. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us benefit from the honor and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this knowledge, the knowledge that has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of this Sharia. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, firstly, you saw the announcement to this particular program, and the announcement highlighted a program dedicated towards those who work in Islamic organizations and those who work in several Islamic da'wah projects, alhamdulillah. Now, whilst the advert did highlight this particular point, by no means is this particular class exclusive only to those involved in the da'wah. And that's why you saw in the follow-up emails, when you did register, there was a placement for those who are not working in any da'wah organization. But the reason why I wanted to run this class and dedicate a portion of it to those involved in the da'wah is because I am inspired by those who, you know, invest from their time and from their wealth in being true to the legacy of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Those who invest their time during their weekends, their free time during their days, in the evenings, perhaps before Fajr, perhaps after Fajr, in working in what we call today, quote-unquote, a non-profit kind of organization or project. And the reason why we do it is because of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Yes, our knowledge might not be up there, you know, at the level of those who might have graduated from Islamic institutions, those who might have graduated from, you know, different Islamic seminaries and different Islamic programs. But nonetheless, I see my brothers and sisters putting themselves forward and selflessly, being true to the legacy of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is truly inspirational for myself. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to be from amongst those who dedicated a portion of his life learning from that left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and having access to scholars and those who have been taught by scholars and so on and so forth, and they have an understanding of this knowledge taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this inheritance left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you know, for myself, that motivation is there, and it has to be there given the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in, given the environment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in. And then I look at my dear brothers and sisters who haven't had the same environment, but yet, you know, subhanallah, at the drop of a hat, they leave their home, they leave, you know, their rest time and so on and so forth to help out with a particular Islamic conference, to help out with a particular relief project. It might be, you know, a program related towards feeding or assisting the poor, or you know, educating the masses, perhaps volunteering, or should I say investing. I prefer to use the word investing, because Allah definitely rewards us for our work, and that's a far greater reward than monetary reward. But we see our brothers and sisters at the drop of a hat out there, you know, tirelessly helping out, subhana rabbi al-a'la, and I ponder over it and could not help but feel that subhanallah, this is all the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul. So the dedication definitely is in recognition of how you all inspire me, and my desire to give back to a community that inspires me, and give back to a community that I respect dearly. And the reality is, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, I can give back by thanking, I can give back by acknowledging, you know, I could use my platform at a particular conference in front of thousands of people to thank those working in the da'wah. But you know, true thanks, and I think the most valuable of thanks you know, the most valuable expressions of gratitude can happen by me offering the most valuable thing that I've been given, and that is some of the teachings of this grand and great and noble Sharia. And definitely people like yourselves, especially working in the da'wah, need to learn from the ocean of knowledge left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the simple fact that the nature of the Sharia is that it is built upon a concept of ilm, and the concept of seeking knowledge before speech and before action. Before speech and before action. And if you probably have heard me mention this particular point in several talks, and that is the fact that the scholars of before, the earliest of scholars, recognized the importance of knowledge before speech and action, and thus we have in some of the greatest books that a Muslim can have, such as Sahih al-Bukhari, for example, which is a compilation of authentic hadith by an imam who was famously known as Imam al-Bukhari. He has an entire chapter dedicated to this point, and that is the point known as Babul Ilmi قبل القول والعمل, that the chapter of knowledge before speech and before action. So there's many ahadith about this, and as a result of this, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhim placed an entire chapter dedicated towards this. And as our scholars teach us, we understand the fiqh or the understanding of Imam al-Bukhari by looking at the headings that he gave to different ahadith, or the headings that he placed in his book. For he would just mention a heading and then list a series of narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under that particular heading. So we would understand from his headings the understanding of the Imam and the fiqh of the Imam. And definitely the Imam understood this, rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah shower his mercy upon him and gather us with him in Jannah. Thus he dedicated an entire chapter teaching us the importance of knowledge. And this is even more important for you, my dear brothers and sisters. So a special welcome to those who are working in the different organizations across the globe, mashallah. I can promise you we have a cosmopolitan community. community here. I never thought, subhanAllah, that we would get interest from so many parts of the world. We even have somebody from Brunei, mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, brothers and sisters. And inshallah, you will understand my appreciation of, the appreciation that I have for you all over the course of the upcoming weeks and months, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as we further progress our relationship together and our study of the book that has been dedicated for this particular class. Now, in terms of the book that we are going to study, then that book is known as Zad al-Ma'ad. Zad al-Ma'ad. In the English language, as you have seen, it's been translated as Provisions for the Hereafter. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about why I actually have chosen this book to share with you all, or why I see this book as a good manual for us to study, especially those who are working in the da'wah. There's many reasons, but before I go into those reasons, I just want to qualify my statement that yes, we are studying the book known as Zad al-Ma'ad, but in particular, what we're studying is a summarized version of the book, and I will explain a little bit about the difference or the differences between the summarized version and the full version. So this book is called Zad al-Ma'ad, and it's a unique book authored by a very famous scholar not unknown to the majority of us, and that is Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayh. And I will inshallah share a little bit about this great imam or a little bit from the biography of the life of this imam, so we understand the uniqueness of the text that we are studying. Now, I have used the word unique more than once already. So why is this book unique? Well, this book is unique for several reasons. Firstly, because our scholars have said, or many scholars after Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi wrote this book, they said that this particular book does not have an example like it. Right? So this is a massive statement of the scholars, because we do know that there's many works of many great scholars out there. But the scholars have highlighted this particular book, for this particular type of praise, where they've actually said that there's nothing like it, meaning it's very difficult to find an example like it if you do say that, you know, there's another book like this. So it's very unique. And this book is unique for many reasons, for the fact that the scholars have said this, and also for the fact that it is dedicated to the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I say it's dedicated to his life, I mean in every sense of the term. Because it does discuss the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It does discuss the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It does discuss the tacit approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I say tacit approvals, I talk about the times when something was done in front of him and he didn't sort of correct that particular thing that happened. And we know that for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if something was wrong, he would correct it immediately. But if he did see something or hear something and didn't comment on it, then this is a type of approval from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the permissible or the permissibility of this particular speech or action. So this book covers all these angles from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now somebody might say, okay, so then this is a seerah book, right? If this is the case, then surely it must be a seerah book. So why is it then unique? Why is it then unique? Well, it's unique, my dear brothers and sisters, because whilst it does cover the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it covers it in a way different to what you would find in a normal seerah book, where there's a systematic run through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from start to finish in a form of story-like telling, right? So, yes, this covers the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it doesn't cover it in that particular way. The other aspect that makes it different to any seerah book is that in this particular book you'll find fiqh, which is Islamic jurisprudence. You'll find aqidah, which is Islamic belief. You'll find nahw, which is Arabic grammar. You'll find adab, which is Islamic morals, manners and etiquettes. You'll find raqa'iq, which refers to the heart softeners. right? You get an iman boost reading this particular book. Also, you find mawa'idh, which refers to general lessons and reminders. So all this is inclusive in the writing of this great imam. So yes, he's running through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he's analyzing his life from a series of different angles. So this definitely makes it absolutely amazing that, look, we won't call it a fiqh book, but yes, it is a fiqh book. We won't call it an aqidah book, but yes, it is an aqidah book, and so on and so forth. So this is how amazing this particular book is. Now, somebody might say, well, do we get confused with it? Or, you know, is there confusion regarding its category? Absolutely not. There's no confusion by the scholars regarding its category. Rather, the scholars have said it owns a category in and of itself, and it is a unique book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon this imam. Ameen. Also, this particular book, if you go to the full version, you'll find that this particular imam, he cites the views of several scholars. Whenever he discusses a fiqh point, for example, you can see the ocean type of knowledge that the imam has, that he brings into the discussion the views of several scholars. And also what makes this book unique is his methodology in presenting the pieces of information. So, you know, if you look at how he mentioned hadith, we see him traversing the way of the scholars of hadith. In terms of the hadith that he chooses to mention, in terms of you know, his discussions surrounding the authoritative nature of the hadith or the prophetic narration that he mentions, so he will cite the authenticity of the hadith or the authenticity level of the hadith. So in his, you know, mention of hadith, we find him traversing the way of the scholars of hadith. And then even when we, you know, look at him discussing fiqh points, for example, or his explanations of the hadith, we see him traversing the way of the scholars of usulul fiqh, or jurisprudence methodology. In terms of, you know, his explanation of the evidences used, and whether the evidence is abrogated, meaning it was said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the ruling was lifted, or whether the ruling still applies. So he touches on all these things, and he even goes ahead and discusses the implications of text. So for example, you could have a text that gives you a general implication. When you read a hadith or an ayah in the Quran, you understand from it that this ayah or the ruling of this ayah includes everybody. Right? But then sometimes we have another verse, another ayah, or another prophetic narration that has a more narrow approach or a more restricted approach, and that hadith explains the first hadith, or the later ayah explains the first ayah, right? Telling us that, well, you know, whilst the first ayah was general, the generality was not intended. And now we have this other hadith to teach us that the generality was not intended, and so on and so forth. So he goes on to mention all these amazing aspects taught to us by the scholars of usulul fiqh, or jurisprudence methodology, to help us further, or to exacerbate our understanding of text. So there is a lot of analysis in the writing of Ibn al-Qayyim in this particular book as well. Also, why I see this book as unique as well is because this particular book, my dear brothers and sisters, actually helps us understand reasons why the scholars differ. Right? A lot of the time, you know, we work in the da'wah, sometimes we have people from different fiqh backgrounds, and apologies, can I just ask if I am being audible here? Barakallahu feekum. Could you please just drop me a message in the box below? May Allah bless you all. Yes? Excellent. Jazakumullahu khairan. Because for some reason, I can't really see the bars on the microphone teaching me that I am audible. But khair, jazakumullah khairan for your response. Apologies for just breaking your thought process. I just wanted to make sure I'm not speaking to myself. This is one of the beauties of using technology as well. It can happen that you end up speaking, and then all of a sudden you find out that, subhanallah, I was actually speaking to myself. And as you know, I have a lot of online projects and programs, programs with Knowledge International University and the New Muslim Academy and other online initiatives. So I have come across all the curveballs that technology can throw you. So apologies for cutting your thought process, but alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khairan for clarifying.